We're looking at Psalm 119 again, verses 113 through 120 today for our meditation. And that is the section where every word begins with the letter Samech. Children, you can see it looks almost like an upside down and backwards Q there, if you have your new King James Bibles there. And it has the sound of S. It's one of two letters in Hebrew that have the sound of S, which we might think funny. Why do they have two? But think about it, children. The letter C sometimes sounds like an S, doesn't it? Like cement. It certainly does. Although sometimes it can come to having a K sound. So C is kind of a funny letter, and maybe some of you have wondered why we even have it in our alphabet. Why not just use the letter S when a C makes an S sound, and the letter K when it makes a K sound? Well, I have no way of answering why we do such a thing, but it's just to say that the Hebrews weren't all that weird, weren't all that funny, and having two letters that sound pretty much the same. Well, now that we're done with our Hebrew lesson, let us read from Psalm 119, beginning with verse 113. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Let's look at some things here. Rather, the key note is set in our first verse there, in verse 113. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. This was in many ways expressive of the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all the Psalms testify. He was especially annoyed, we might say, with those who professed to be yielded to God, who called themselves, and others called them, the separated ones, the Pharisees, who were double-minded. They weren't really yielded to God's law. They took the commandments of men and taught them as if they were the commandments of God. And they thought of all kinds of ways to game the law, we might say today, gaming it for their own advantage so that they could appear holy and feel confident in their standing before God while at the same time gouging the poor. You can read Jesus' condemnation of them in Matthew chapter 23, and a lot of the gaming that they did is condemned by the Lord Jesus Christ in his Sermon on the Mount earlier on in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7. It's where Jesus will say time and again, you've heard it said, da-da-da-da-da, but I say to you, da-da-da-da-da-da. The one is the tradition of the elders departing from the Scripture. The other is Jesus' authoritative setting forth of what the command, the precept, the testimony, the law of God is. He loved God's law, and he hated hypocritical and deceitful double-dealing. Sadly, we find it within the professed church an awful lot. What shall we say when we have men who claim when they are examined and who claim when they make promises at their ordination that they believe and will teach certain things, and then they go off and teach the exact opposite? What shall we say when a denomination has what they claim to be a creed or a confession of faith that is only kept around to be apparently an object of scorn and contempt and ridicule? Is that not double-mindedness? Of course it is. I can think of a time when a faithful minister was forced out of what claimed to be an evangelical church of Jesus Christ. And the Unitarians critique that church that threw him out, critique the liberals within it who claimed to believe certain things but obviously did not. Even the Unitarians could see that these men were dishonest, that they were the double-minded that we see condemned here. Let us be very careful that we are not the same way. May God give to us, and actually it's guaranteed that He shall, more and more, a heart that says, I love your law. As Jesus, because we are bound to Him. As Jesus, because we're in a covenant relationship, in union and communion with Him. We find our God to be our hiding place and our shield. As a matter of fact, we sometimes sing from Psalm 84, Look thou, O God, upon our shield, the face of thine anointed, or if we translate it directly from the Greek version, the face of thy Christ see. The Lord Jesus is our shield, and we hope in Him who is the Word become flesh. Well, the one who hates the double-minded, who truly loves God's law, wants to depart from evildoers and have them depart from Him. There is no keeping company with God and with evildoers. Now, this does not mean that we depart from those who occasionally do bad things, because all Christians do that. It does not mean that we depart from people who are perhaps not believers, but they have outwardly decent character. But certainly the wicked who will not turn are those from whom we must depart, because we must cleave to, and we desire, if we are believers, to cleave to God's Word, the commandments of God. As we depend upon, then, God's Word, it first of all upholds us. That is, it strengthens us. It sustains us as we go on in our course of life, in the pathway to celestial city, to borrow from John Bunyan there. That is the way of life, and we shall not be ashamed of our hope. Hold me up. Now, that looks like almost the same thing. In verse 116, uphold me, and then 117, hold me up. But they're two different words, and they really mean two different things. Uphold me there, we might say, means to sustain and strengthen. The word that is translated hold me up, though, in 117 means more like encourage me and refresh me and that sort of thing. And so God's Word does that as well. As God does that for us, makes us safe, refreshes, comforts us, we're safe and we continually observe His statutes. Now, as we go right along, we see that God rejects those who stray from His statutes. So we should be staying away from them. They're rejected. We don't want to be along with them and share in the difficulty that they shall have. Their deceit, they may think, is clever. Their deceit, they may think, is timely. Their deceit, they may think, is culturally relevant. But it's falsehood. It's falsehood. What comes of them? Well, we find that in verse 119. Psalm 119, verse 119. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. Dross, children, is the impurity that's left over when you purify out silver or gold. Silver, particularly. There's usually very little impurity with gold. But with silver, it reacts with oxygen, it reacts with sulfur very readily, very easily. And so you may have this stuff that's all tarnished and nasty and that sort of thing. As you heat it up, you get all this garbage that we call dross. And then you also have the pure silver. Well, the silver we keep. What do we do with the dross? We just throw it away. It's just oxide. It's just sulfur. It's just like ashes, and nobody values those too much. And so it is that the wicked are thrown far away. They think they're precious. They think themselves to be precious. and the falsehood that they hold is something special and wonderful. But it's garbage. It's trash. It's worthless, at best, if not outright or downright damaging. This is one reason for us to love God's testimonies, because it allows us to discern between the precious silver and the worthless dross. And we delight in the God of those testimonies, who does not sweep us up together with the worthless, but who separates them off from us, so that we come forth bright, shining, glistening, not tainted, not weighed down, not being clung to by the filth of the wicked. Lastly, we have the attitude here of the one who does love God's law. He trembles for fear, and he's afraid of judgment. Not that he fears that such will happen to him, but it's like watching a great disaster happen that you're safe from. Disaster to wicked people, you still say, "Oh my, what a powerful, what an awesome, what a fearful God we serve. And it's only by his grace that I do not receive the same or more." He is an awesome God. I must never presume upon him. I must never treat him lightly. I must always hold him in reverential, childlike respect, awe, and in a sense, not of terror, but of deep impression. I must hold him who is my God and my Father in heaven in fear. This one whose judgments come to pass. Well, let us sing about this, and let us flee far from double-mindedness, from deceit and treachery. Let us set our delight on the law of God, and the God who has fulfilled the law for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus. We'll sing from Psalm 119p. Now, here's where our alphabet kind of diverges from the Hebrew alphabet a little bit, children. We'd think of the letter S next, but no, we're going to P. So we'll sing from Psalm 119p at this time.